guys, and welcome to your Vision Quest rune reading. My first ever rune reading for any kind of a public project. So this is a first, and good to connect with the sign Aries, which is the sign of initiative. So here we are, inaugurating and creating something. I've included some artifacts, hand-selected for you, though I wasn't quite sure what the parallel was going to end up being, and I've been doing a little bit of research, and now I see. So let's first start with the artifacts, and let me get that image up on the screen. The artifacts, I'm going to go for a clearer photo, but I may have used the original, a little bit dim light. The three artifacts are the turtle. It's kind of a carved turtle, I think out of jade, and then to the right there is an elephant, a kind of an ordinary teeny little elephant, and then in the back the kind of brighter gold figure is Ganesha, one of my favorite critters from Hindu mythology. And Ganesha, good place to start. Ganesha is the god of wisdom and of success in the form of the removal of obstacles. And so when you're in a situation where you want to remove the obstacles that are in your way, the entity to call upon, among others, is Ganesha, and that is what he helps us do. He's a friendly, witty, loving, but all-powerful kind of a guy, and I find that he's one of those no-nonsense entities to work with when you need him or when it's just kind of convenient and helpful but necessary to be sincere. The elephant itself is, first of all, a very old creature. It almost seems like it's a survivor of some many previous ice ages, kind of like the dragonfly is. There are just some animals that seem like they've been around forever. Some plants seem like they've been around since the beginning. For example, ferns, they just evoke an echo of something way in the distant past, and the elephant is one of those. And the elephant is a number of things, but one of them is a symbol of virility, desire, strength, in particular, of the libido. And with Mars making a retrograde from Sagittarius into Scorpio, we have a kind of a perfect image of penetrating beyond the thick clouds that have been imposed over natural and organic reality by religion, and seeking something deeper within ourselves in the form of organic, biological, hormonal reality, which manifests through Scorpio. And while Mars is in Scorpio, it's going to be picking up on many planets that are located in the 12th house, going even deeper into the realm of the erotic imagination. And while I'm there, I'll mention that, you know, all these Pisces planets I've been describing somewhat in the written and then in more detail in the spoken word reading a few minutes ago, the 12th house in Hindu astrology is the house of the pleasures of the bed, among other things. The 12th is a world apart, and one of the parallels between the pleasures of the bed and the world apart is that feeling of waking up after a night of profound erotic exploration, wondering if that even really happened. And so when you're in that world that has properties of both physical reality, because you can access it with your senses, and there's some relevance to linear time and physical space, but also morphs with the properties of a dream, that is how you know that you are in the 12th house. And with all of these planets in the 12th, that is an invitation to go there. It is an invitation to exist in the world of taboo, behind the veil, in the world of that which is typically denied or ignored, or people pretend doesn't exist, or it's too big, it's too scary. But in that big room, as I have been describing it, there is a whole bunch of libido energy, particularly with Venus conjunct Neptune. That is fodder for profound erotic fantasy, but also amorous imagination. And Venus brings in the tangible and the physical, and Neptune brings in the intangible, the vibrational, the non-physical, the imaginal, and brings them together. And there are a number of indications that that you have the ongoing journey of manifesting in real time, in real space, outside of the 12th house, in what we think of as agreed upon reality that you can see and touch and hear and smell. And the way I think to do that is to stay close to the feeling that you want. And this leads us to, conveniently, the blank rune. Let me talk about the turtle first. The turtle is a cosmic symbol. It for some reason, shows up in the deepest descriptions of what reality might be. There's that line from Eastern mythology about it, you know, the world is held up on the back of a turtle, and that turtle is held up on the back of another turtle, and if you look, it's turtles all the way down. And so the turtle has a kind of a cosmic inference to it. And some mythologies use the shell of the turtle as a kind of a model for the universe. And there are models out of physics that describe what we think of as the known universe as kind of a skin stretched over an inflated balloon, mimicking the kind of dome shape of the turtle. And when I think of turtles, I do think of that funny thing about turtles all the way down. And I'm also reminded of the I Ching, which is, from what I've read, originally these hexagrams were created by basically copying down the cracks that formed in the shell of a turtle that was put in a fire. So they took an old turtle shell, with the turtle deceased, and cooked the shell and or more than one shell, and the cracks in the shell were then copied and became the hexagrams of the I Ching. Now, who knows whether that's even true, but it's certainly cool, and it is ascribing kind of an organic form to something that's quite methodical. The I Ching is a methodical work of philosophy, 64 pages long, 64 hexagrams long, and it may have some origin in kind of a random quality. And then when I think of turtle, I think of Turtle Island, North America, which is one of the names that the Indians had for our entire continent. And then finally, I think of the mysterious turtle in the Grateful Dead song Terrapin Station, where this train pulls in, and the lyrics of this rather mighty song say, "I can't figure out if it's the end or the beginning, but the train's got its brakes on, and the whistle is screaming, Terrapin, Terrapin." And from there come the beautiful lines of Robert Hunter, that some rise, some fall, and some climb to get to Terrapin Station. So those are our friends, our guides, and our kind of animal mentors. I love using animals as a element on the spiritual path, because the animals represent what you might think of as the primal parts of human nature before all of this baggage got heaped on them. And so they're a guide to returning to elemental consciousness. That's why it's good to have animals around us, because they help connect us to our instinctual nature. That, you know, instinctual nature being, in the case of dogs, for example, my constant companions, about closeness and the desire to participate. and symbiosis. And I think that with all of these power animals, they're all power animals, really, we have a great example of symbiosis. And for our purposes now, for Aries, the symbiosis is with Ganesha, Jaya Ganesha, remover of obstacles, and the elephant, among his many functions, is the reminder of the power of the libido, and the terrapin, the sublime reminder of our presence in the cosmos and of what holds us up. Now let's take a look at these runes. There are five of them, and I'm reading them in reverse order. So from the blank one on the left, they would proceed to the little X, that's Gebo, and then Flo, the one in the middle, that's Laguz, and then the one that looks like a fish, an ichthys upright, that's Othelia, separation, and then finally Wunjo, joy, the little kind of odd-looking P on the right side. And here's my take on this. The syntax seems to work great, and the spread that I'm using is first position overview, second position the challenge, third position the correct action, fourth position what you exchange or give up, and the fifth position is the outcome. So in the first position, we come up with the first rune drawn for a reading in this whole series, and that is the blank rune, the all that there is, the Nagual, the Rita, the sea of all potential. I would note that in the autumn I had a reader write to me and say, oh, by the way, Ralph Blum is wrong, and there is no blank rune. I don't have a need to strictly adhere to tradition, although I do like to know when I'm digressing from tradition, but for our purposes, there can be a blank rune in a way similar to the Fool is the blank rune of the tarot, Trump Zero, and the manifestation of the blank rune, the one that's not supposed to be there, as the first rune of this whole journey is a reminder of the emphasis that this thing actually does exist and has a message. And to me, this is pointing us to all that Pisces in your 12th house. It's pointing to the pure potential of that of those planets in Pisces, the pure potential of the 12th house that need not be conditioned too much or mitigated. It just can be allowed to stand. And one of the reminders of the blank rune and of the 12th house and of Pisces is to make sure that you establish a relationship with the unknown that allows the unknown to be itself. It is important in matters of spiritual growth to allow mystery to be mysterious, to allow the unknown to be the unknown, to be able to stand in the face of inconclusion and lack of understanding, and then relate to it as itself without needing to fill it in. And that brings us to the second rune, that being partnership or gibbo. And here is an image of partnership with the all that there is, with the Rita, the realm of all potential from which anything might emerge. And it's also saying that there is a challenge of sane and balanced partnership in the worldly sense of partnership. But the implication here, as the astrology is saying, is that the partnership begins with this vast interior, the great room within. And once you establish a relationship with that and go exploring in that great room within, using whatever tools that you might choose to use to explore, any consciousness-changing tools, and there are many, from the sound of a gong to taking ayahuasca, to relate in a conscious way to the unknown, and then to allow what manifests to flow from the unknown, which leads to the third rune, which is flow, also called Laguz. And this is really about, rather than directing the flow of events, moving with the flow of events. Certainly there's a trustworthy, trustworthy origin, beginning with the blank rune, leading into the relationship, partnership, Gebo rune. So you're establishing a relationship with the source, and then therefore it is possible to trust the flow. Now the fourth rune, Othelia, also the known as the rune of separation or separating paths, is an indicator of the path separating, the branching of the road, as the Course in Miracles calls it. And I'm going to look up that passage in the Course in Miracles in a second. And in the place of what must be given up, this has a couple of implications, one of which is, first of all, giving up the concept of separation, because separation really is a concept, and we tend to be obsessed by it, and much of our perception and much of the thought that we're trained in is kind of a training project in separating ourselves from source. And so giving up separation allows us to connect with the flow, the relationship to the Rita, the unknown, the all that there is. The other thing about separation is this thing about separating paths, which is the diverging path, and the idea that once you have chosen one, one course of travel, that's the road that you take, and you may as well just stay on that path for a while and see where it leads, and recognize, well, first of all, you can't take both paths. You can stand at the place where you don't know what to do, which is very frustrating, or you can choose the road that you really know you need to take, and take that road. I'm going to look up that segment of A Course in Miracles and read some of it to you, so we can kind of connect with a perhaps more poetic idea of the branching of the road. I'll be right back. All right, so just a brief passage here, and this is easy to Google. You just Google the term, the branching of the road, and you're going to wind up in the Course in Miracles chapter by that title. When you come to the place where the branch in the road is quite apparent, you cannot go ahead. You must go one way or the other. For now, if you go straight ahead the way you went before you reach the branch, you'll go nowhere. The whole purpose of coming this far was to decide what branch you'll take now. The way you came no longer matters. It can no longer serve. No one who reaches this far can make the wrong decision, but he or she can delay. There's no part of the journey that seems more hopeless and futile than standing where the road branches and not deciding which way to go. It is but the first few steps along the right way that seem hard, for you have chosen, though you may still think that you can go back and make another choice. This is not so. A choice made with the power of heaven to uphold it cannot be undone. Your way is decided. There is nothing you will not be told if you acknowledge this. One of my very favorite passages from the Course in Miracles, and I'm planning to have a little bit more to say about the Course in Miracles soon in a radio program called The Miracle Hour. So, separation, Othelia, the branching of the road, and also the kind of sacrificing, in quotes, the idea of separation. Finally, Bunjo, joy, happiness. This leads to happiness. Trusting the unknown, realizing you kind of stand on the unknown, but it's turtles all the way down, and making a partnership or a relationship to the unknown, and also recognizing partnership or relationship as a fundamental goal that you have. Nice that Jupiter's coming up into Libra a little bit later in the year, followed by flow, going with the flow, and then Othelia, separating paths, and choosing which one you will take, and then concluding with Wunjo, joy, happiness. Lovely little rune spread. The syntax is easy to understand. It's nice to be given one that apparently on its face makes some sense and relates directly into the astrology, and I would say that is a beautiful, intuitive, succinct summation of the astrology that you have got. All right, great fun doing this for you. You do know where to reach me, efc@ericfrancis.com. I'll be back in a couple of months with a birthday reading for you based on the Aries new moon chart. Lots going on in the sign Aries. I have been downplaying my how impressed I am with this Uranus-Aries conjunction. I think that there are going to be a lot of people who take advantage of this for a lot of mischief and disruption, and yet at the same time there is some, you know, deep set of circumstances that are allowing us to rethink the question of who we are and of what a person is. Questions so big that it almost, you know, what one kind of crazy example is, you know, imagine if one day the government acknowledged that the whole UFO thing was real and that there were indeed space aliens and we were in contact with them. There are people who would be profoundly affected by that idea, by that thought form. And what looks, if not that exact thing, something as deep and as profound of a revelation guides us, teaches us something about what a person is. And that means presents you with an opportunity to really discover who you are and then do something really exciting with that, most likely doing both at the same time. Okay, thank you for seeking wisdom here and ideas and for sharing your reality, and I look forward to working with you again. Thanks for listening. I'll leave you with a little bit of my favorite stuff. First, some drums, and that will dissolve into Terrapin Station by Robert Hunter and Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead. Bye for now.
But those did love. takes a fan and throws it in the lion's den. Which of you to gain me tell will risk uncertain pains in hell? I will not forgive you if you will not take a chance. Said I gave at least a try, the soldier being much too wise. Strategy was a strain, not disaster.
Thank you.
things just seem vain and less. Some rise, some fall, some cry to get to tell. The spiral light of Venus, rising crest and shining bed. Oh, from the northwest corner of a brand new crescent moon. Crickets and cicadas sing.